This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا؟ كلا سنكتب ما يقول ونمد له من العذاب مدا. صدق الله العظيم. So yes, in verse 77 we introduced the tale of this arrogant individual Asb bin Wa'il. Proud, haughty, arrogant, used the services of Khabbab radiallahu anhu, and then when it was time to pay, he brought religion in the equation. Sadly, this is so tragic that even amongst the Muslim community, people will ask for your services. Hey, can I need some so-and-so to do this here? I believe you in the game. Okay, please come give me a coat, right? The deal is done. Do the work. The work is done and the man is singing for his money. This is not the teachings of Islam. Ta'asharu kal-ikhwan wa ta'amalu kal-ajanib. That's the Arabic proverb. Live like brothers, but deal like strangers. Now, we're the direct opposite. We live like strangers, and when it comes to dealing, hey, we're brothers, man. I won't run away with your money, man. Hey, I'm going to run away, man. Don't worry, man. You know, my father and your grandfather, they were neighbors. But I need the money now. What has my father and your grandfather's neighborhood got to do with it? Pay me the money. Ta'amalu kal ajanib, right? In the third juz, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Amongst the people of the book are those that if you leave a treasure with them and then you ask them back for it, they'll give it to you. And this also indicates that Islam is not muta'assib. In Islam, we're not biased and prejudiced. So if it means complimenting the good action of a non-Muslim, Islam complements it. And the whole academic write-up is mentioned there in Bayanul Quran that Ahlul Kitab could refer to the people from the book who accepted Islam. Then of course you praise in the Muslims from amongst them, the likes of Abdullah bin Salam. Or then it could refer to those who didn't accept Islam, but they were honest amongst them, right? So then the academic discussion comes of it being mahmood, but not maqbool, meaning praiseworthy, but because there's no iman, it wouldn't yield any benefit in akhirah. Notwithstanding the fact that they might not be Muslims, if they are honest, the act of honesty is praiseworthy. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And amongst the people of the books are those, man, those in, if, ta'manhu, you trust them with بِقِنْطَارٍ, with a large treasure. يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. They will give it to you in full. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ. And there are others that if you leave one dinar with them, لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. They will not pay you back your money. إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. Unless you stand by his head side. Hey, give me my money, give me my money, you owe me my money. In Bayanul Quran, Abu Bakr Jassas rahimahullah makes a deduction from this year, and the view of Imam Abu Hanifa is also mentioned there, that from this he deduces that it is within the right of the creditor to actually hound the debtor. You know what? Of course, after he has defaulted, not before he has defaulted. One is you've given him a grace period and the grace period has not lapsed. Here the grace period has lapsed by years. You're owing me my money. No, it's illa ma dumta alayhi qa'ima. You can keep on asking. It's within your right and your space and your allowance to say, please, you've defaulted, you've defaulted. And I urge you, my brother, and I urge you, my sister, if you are owing people money, then hasten towards the payment, hasten. And if you don't have the money, pick up the phone, apologize to the individual. Listen, I'm in a challenging situation. I haven't forgotten about the money owed to you. I will, you know, follow up with it. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالدَّيْنِ وَالْغُلُولِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. If you die free from pride, free from deceiving anyone, and free from debts, you will go to paradise. Sadly, today we pass in a way guilty of all three. We die with debts, we leave our family in a mess, then we die, unfortunately, with pride, and we die with, how many people we've deceived, etc. So may Allah grant us the understanding. So yes, Khabbab radiallahu anhu asked for his money, and Asb bin Wa'il just blankly refused it and started saying, no, give up your Islam, give up your Islam. Now, for Sahaba, this was impossible. impossible, impossible. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu in the 19th year of Hijrah had sent Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu to Rome. I just have this story in my mind coming to me now. And he sent there, long story short, and the Roman emperor intercepted Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu and his army. And they said, this is a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Roman emperor said to him, هَلَّكَ أَن تَتَنَصَّرْ وَأُشْرِكُكَ فِي مُلْكِ. Would you consider giving up your Islam and accepting my faith and my religion? And yeah, you know what? We could probably share my empire. So Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ أَعْطَيْتَنِي جَمِيعَ مَا تَمْلِكْ وَجَمِيعَ مَا مَلَكَتْهُ الْعَرَبُ عَلَى أَنْ أَرْجِعَ عَنْ دِينِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ مَا فَعَلْتُ. If you ask me to give up Islam for the wink of an eye and offer me the treasures of the world, I still won't consider it. So the Roman emperor said, إِذَنْ أَقْتُلَكْ, then I will behead you. آخر سهم في كنانة الملوك, the last arrow in a king's quiver is violence. When all fails him, then he wants to flex his muscle. I can incarcerate you. I can freeze your accounts. I can have you retrenched. I can do this to you. I can do that. So now he flexes. Why? Because he's defeated. He's defeated. So Abdullah bin Huzafa said, well, I didn't stop you. I didn't stop you. So then he told the people, shower the arrows close to his head and close to his hands and see what's his reaction. So Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu was calm and composed. Calm and composed. Because there wasn't this panic of death. There wasn't this panic of death. To meet Allah was within them. It was just Khubayb radiallahu anhu is about to be executed. And as he's been executed, he's singing poetry. Now, who can sing poetry when someone's going to execute you? If I ask you to compose one poem or one stanza, you and I need, you know what, calm waters, beautiful ambience, a nice breeze, birds chirping, sun peeping, blue skies, and then probably we make up one stanza, and that also, you know what, it doesn't really have all rhythm. And Khabab radiallahu anhu is about to be Khubayb radiallahu anhu is about to be executed, and he says, فَقَدْ جَمَعُوا أَبَنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وَقُرِّبْتُ مِنْ جِذْعٍ طَوِيلٍ مُمَنَّعِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْكُو كُرْبَتِي ثُمَّ غُرْبَتِي. The poem is amazing. He just says they've gathered them and they're going to attack me and assassinate me and kill me and execute me, and I complain to Allah and Allah is sufficient for me. So anyway, then the emperor says, okay, drop two people in boiling oil and let him see the consequences. So Da'abi Asiraini, two captives were brought and they were dropped in, and of course they attained martyrdom. So the Roman emperor said, right, now take him. So as Sayyidina Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu was being taken, he teared. So they thought perhaps he is reconsidering the whole thing. And they said, listen, he's tearing. So the king said, what, are you out of fear of death? He said, no, I'm crying that you're going to kill me and I only have one life. I wish I had more to offer. I wish I had more to offer. You see people in fake lust, in lust, and they're infatuated over someone. And they would spend crazy amount of money to appease an individual and win his or her confidence and do, like, you know, strange things. And I wish I had more and I wish I could do more and nothing is outside my reach. And that's just fake lust. And this is pure wholesome wood and mahabbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the king heard this, هَزَّ الْمَلِكُ رَأْسَهُ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ الَّذِي احْتَقَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Like, I've never seen someone who trivialized death. So then the king said, okay, هَلَّكَ أَن تُقَبِّلَ رَأْسِي, will you kiss my head and then I will release you. So Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu said, وَعَنْ أُسَارَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and the other captives as well. He said, yes, I will release them all. So then Abdullah bin Huzafa said, okay, let's just appease him. Some people need to massage their ego. They need to inflate it. So like, imagine you asking someone to kiss you to make you feel good. One is a person is kissing you out of respect. بَابُ تَقْبِيلِ يَدِ الرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ, right? The chapter speaks about kissing the hand of a pious person out of respect, honor, and dignity. This is the man is not honoring you. وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. You're telling him, okay, come honor me. Okay, say I'm good. Okay, kiss me. And you're just massaging your ego. So Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu appeased him to secure the release of the companions, and they all were released. And of course, when they came back and the tale and the story was narrated to Sayyidina Umar, he said, حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ أَن يُقَبِّلَ رَأْسَ Abdullah, and you qabbil ra'sa Abdullah, that it is incumbent upon everyone to kiss the forelock of Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, and I will start off by kissing him first. Subhanallah. So yes, for Sahaba, you know what? My iman is non-negotiable. My iman is non-negotiable. This is what Allah says, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The iman is firm, it's embedded in them. Okay, so أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. To recap verse 77, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you seen this arrogant person, As bin Wa'il? كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا, who denies our verses, وَقَالَ, and then says, لَأُوتَيَنَّ, definitely, surely, certainly, I will be given wealth and children. You saying that in the next life, so I'll pay you there, I'll sort you out there. And again, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pay people here, finish. You owing them, my brother, settle the account here, because in akhirah the currency is your amal. You will have to pay with your good deeds. And how expensive a payment that is. How expensive a payment that is. Imagine you owing someone and it offsets your fast, and it offsets your salah goes. And that's the famous hadith of Sahih Muslim, in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined a pauper. المفلس فينا من لا درهم له ولا متاع إن المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وصيام وصلاة وزكاة ويأتي قد شتم هذا وأكل مال هذا وضرب هذا وسفك دم هذا فيعطى هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته. That a person will come before Allah with a lot of credit but a lot of liabilities, lot of salah, zakat, good actions, offended, insulted, accused, blamed, oppressed, hurt, violated people, and each one of them will line up, and then they will make a claim, and then one will be given his prayer, one will be given his charity, one will be given this year, one would be given this year, until all his good deeds will be depleted. May Allah protect us. أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. Verse 78. Has he peeked into the unseen, or does he have a pact with Allah? أطلع الغيب, meaning أطلع الغيب. He's so confidently saying that I'll get up and I'll be resurrected and I'll have wealth and I'll have children there. So, of course, resurrection is definite. There's no two opinions. But the confidence of which he will have children and he will have wealth, has he peeked inside? Has he got a contact there? Has he seen into the unseen that he can make this claim here? أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَدْرُسُونَ إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِيهِ لَمَا تَخَيَّرُونَ أَمْ لَكُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا بَالِغَةٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ سَلْهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ بِذَلِكَ زَعِيمٌ. In Surah Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the disbelievers, you claiming that in Akhirah you will have paradise and you'll have this. Do you have a document from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ الزُّبُرِ, in which it is declared that, you know what, you've been given deliverance. You're talking with such arrogance. أَمْ لَكُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا بَالِغَةٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ لَكُمْ لَمَا تَحْكُمُونَ. Have we made an oath in your favor that whatever you wish and dream and desire for, it will come to fruition? No, no. Soon you will see the reality. أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ, has he peeked into the unseen? أَمْ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ عَهْدًا, or does he have a pact and an agreement and a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None of the above, none of the above. Sometimes, by way of example, on a different note, a child is exploiting the authority of his father. Now he says, no, no, my dad said, no, the father is the boss, the owner of the company, and he's abusing this authority of his father and walking around and saying, no, no, I can do this, you can do this, you can have this. Yeah, wait, hang on. Oh, you got carte blanche, you got free consent, you got, open-ending leverage in what you want to do. Is this all yours? Is it in order? You're just abusing the thing. You're abusing. Your father had not given you any permission whatsoever. Kalla, no, no, never, never. Rad'un. It is zajr, tawbikh. Woe be to him. Woe be to him. Sanaktubu ma yaqul. We are recording what he is uttering, what he's blurting. Wadamuddu lahu min al-'adhabi madda. We shall continue to intensify the punishment for him in akhirah. So in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him respite, gives him grace, gives him clemency. And because of his evil nature, he exploits it. So he goes deeper into his arrogance and he does all his nonsense. And because of that, the punishment will be intensified. This verse gives me a shiver in my back. In Juz 4, Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Let not the disbeliever feel that the extension of wealth and health is good for him. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ, we're giving him grace and respite, لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. And he's going to abuse that and do more wrong with a longer life and more health and wealth. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ And a disgraceful punishment awaits him. كَلَّا Not at all. He will not be getting any of the above. In fact, see what's to follow. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ We shall certainly record what he's writing. بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ The angels are recording. وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا He won't get more wealth or children. He will get extended torment and affliction. And in verse 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا We shall inherit from him all that he speaks about, and he will come to us alone. He's talking of having more children or having children and wealth in Akhirah. Allah says in verse 80, he will lose what he has. Not have more, he won't have what he has. In other words, currently the children that you have, you lose it. And you know what? In Tafsir Uthmani, there's an amazing explanation given here. That not only, one is the translation, let me break it down. Waratha yarithu, waritha, you know, to waritha Sulaymanu, as Allah says, to inherit. So when you die, then everything comes to Allah, and everything belongs to Allah now as well, but temporarily Allah has given it to us. But when we die, everything comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on, the next person, and ultimately everyone will die, and everything comes back to Allah. So Allah is saying that when he dies, he will lose what he has. That's one explanation. The other explanation is that وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ We will inherit what he's saying, meaning he's talking about his wealth and his children. His children, and he had two sons, both were blessed with iman, right? As bin Wa'il, Amr bin As, radiyallahu anhu. And this is mentioned in Tafsir Uthmani. So never mind having children and that claiming you're going to have it there. Your children are also on the side of Islam. Your children are on the side of Islam. So what are you talking about? You have nothing. You have nothing. And physically also, you will die and everything will come to Allah. And spiritually, now you are a disbeliever and your sons have come into Islam. So they are with the believers. They are with the believers. Under that ayah in Surah Al-Lahab chapter 114, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Abu Lahab, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ His wealth didn't benefit him and what he acquired, what he earned. Aisha radiallahu anha's narration is mentioned in the tafsir in Ma'riful Quran that kasab here refers to your children because your earnings, are your children are your earnings. It's the best of what you can actually harvest. It's the best of what you can reap is your children. So you proudly talking of having more in Akhirah, you're going to lose what you have in this world. And for the record, both your sons are Muslims already. So you don't even have them now because they are on the side of Islam. So don't be so proud and so arrogant. وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ We will inherit what he is talking about. وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا And he will come to us alone. He will come to us alone. Nobody. When you die, nobody stands with you. Everybody leaves you, launches you, deserts you, abandons you, and you're gone. وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا You will come before your Lord alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 81, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّا Leaving Allah, they made other gods. Their deity, وَاتَّخَذُوا they made مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ besides Allah, آلِهَ, gods, right? They worship different things. لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّا so that these deities can be a source of honor for them in Akhirah. This is what they used to say. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ These gods, these objects, these isms will intercede for us. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى We only worship in them so that they can enhance our position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is their belief that they used to say. Verse 81, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً And they made gods. وَاتَّخَذُوا they made مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ besides Allah آلِهَةً deities. لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً So that it can be a source of honor for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the discussion and the tale of As bin Wa'il and his arrogance in verse 82. Kalla, never. سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ these gods that you worship, these gods that you worship will deny your worship. They will deny your worship. سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّا And they will become adversaries to the worshippers. مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ They will stand up and say, you did not worship us. You did not worship us. Now, there's a quick question here. Is many of the things that were worshipped were objects and items and isms and stones. So how is it that they will speak? How is it it was stone? How would it they'll speak? And in Bayan al-Quran, it is mentioned, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the limbs of man speak. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ A person will ask his hand, but why are you speaking? And the hand will say, Allah made me speak. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ Today we will seal their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ Their hands will testify. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ And their legs will give evidence. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Of what they perpetrated, achieved or committed. So just as Allah will make their organs speak, likewise, these gods will speak up. So can you imagine the humiliation, the embarrassment that the object that you worship in the hope that it will grant you deliverance and honor, leave alone giving you deliverance, it will blatantly and vehemently refute the fact that you worshipped it. So these gods will say, listen, مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ Allah, they didn't worship us. Don't involve us here. And what would be the embarrassment and the humiliation of the disbeliever at that time? So that's it. We leave it on that note. Verse 82. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from arrogance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawheed in its purest form. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its purest form. Amongst the advices that Luqman gave to his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Oh my son, do not ascribe partners with Allah. Surely that is the most evil crime. May Allah bless us with tawheed khalis, pure tawheed, and may He take us from this world with pure and wholesome tawheed. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.